Colossians. I just want to encourage you. I listen. I've told you guys before. I've become a podcast sermon geek, and I just like listening to podcast sermons, and it's a great way to kind of just to worship all throughout the week, and it's really good for me. And I was laughing at one of the sermons that I listen to pretty regularly, in that they started a series kind of like we're doing now on one book of the Bible, and they began it the first of the year, and they're still in the first chapter. So, and as I read this passage of Colossians, I think we could spend, you could preach a whole sermon just on, humility, one word in one verse, and just kind of spend a whole lot of time with that. So we're skipping chunks of stuff I'd love to talk about, and just kind of pulling out the things that leap out at us. But I just encourage you to just spend some time with this letter and just beginning to hear what God is saying to his people. The remarkable thing is I just keep getting at how much Colossae is like us. I think we'd fit in pretty well. We don't, other than not knowing the language, we'd do all right because we understand that first century community's faith. I think we would understand it really well. And so what is being spoken in this word is very much what we can share to help us to share the gospel with the people around us. And that's just such an important part of what we are all about, is finding ways to reach out in very real and powerful ways. Before I get started tonight, I just want to first of all thank everybody who made this happen last week. Last Saturday night, as I woke up, it was unexpected for me not to be here. I woke up in the middle of the night sick and called Brad, and then I went back to sleep. he'll handle it. Brad and Nick knew, and that was all they needed, and I was comfortable. And I can't tell you what a blessing it is to know that I can just sleep through this and without sitting there worried, like, are they going to do it? Is it going to work? I know the leadership that we have, and I just am so thankful to everybody who's doing all they can to make this happen. And also, I want to thank you guys for your prayers for Christy, my daughter. I think everybody knows that she took a bad spill in gym class, lost a tooth and broke her arm, but did not break her nose, although we thought she had. So there's reason to be thankful there. She's a very strong little girl, and we are I can't tell you how proud I am to just see a little girl who knows what's really important, and just to see her just do that at 8 years old. It's just an amazing thing, and to admire your child is a really wonderful gift. So finally, we're here. This is the verse, right? I mean, Easter Sunday, I read this verse, and then I said, we're going to talk about this for a while. This is Colossians 3:1. If you're serious about this resurrection life, act like it. And finally, tonight, we're here. 2 weeks ago, the last time I was with you, we ended with the second chapter of Colossians. And just really quickly, I just want to remind you what we were talking about is that the Apostle Paul was talking about the rules, the law, and how the law is just a shadow of the real life, and how we can go through the motions. We can do the Christian thing and be absolutely miserable. We can do all the right stuff and just kind of fit in the mold and fit in the box and do what we're supposed to do. And Paul says that's just a shadow. The real life is being with Christ, is living with Christ, is walking with Jesus every step of the way. We use the dance steps on the floor. You can put your feet in the right places, but you ain't really dancing. I can teach a kid how to swing a bat, and they can herky jerky do it exactly right, but when they just swing, something special happens. And we can walk with Christ, and I like the way the message talks even in this passage, with our eyes to the ground right in front of us, just trying to do the next thing right, instead of head up, looking around, looking for Christ at work in our life and working with him. Because God's already at work. And we just get alongside and walk with him and work with him. Tonight, though, I am just intrigued with our clothing. He says we need to clothe ourselves in the clothes that God picked out for us. And so let's spend some time there. Let's open with a word of prayer. God, open our hearts and our minds and our spirits to hear you speak tonight. We just put ourselves in that position. Open our ears that we might truly hear what you have to say. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think it'll surprise anybody to say that I know nothing about fashion. I don't even enjoy it. I know it's a pastime for many people to go and watch the Oscar shows, and it's more important to see how people walk up the red carpet than it is to see who actually wins. You want to see what people are wearing and what's important in those times and designers and all of those things. It's a giant industry with magazines and television shows that just seem to get more and more popular. You know, for me, I'd rather watch a baseball game than any of that, to know how the Mets are doing and bury myself in statistics to know about fashion. But I have become familiar with this phrase of the new black. X is the new black. You know, it seems like one year at the Oscars, all the women will show up with blue dresses on, and somebody will say, blue is the new black. You know, that's the standard. Everybody should be wearing blue because that's become the standard. People who need to be seen need that staple of clothing. For men, it's the tuxedo, right? And the classic black and white tuxedo. George Clooney in the black and white tuxedo. You know, not the blue tuxedo with the frilly shirt that I wore to my prom in 1983, you know? You know those things? Remember that? But the classic black. And so we get these things where X is the new black. It's the new standard. It's the new thing that is important that we need to have. The Apostle Paul in this passage of Scripture is comparing our life with Christ to our wardrobe. He begins in verse 9, and he says, you're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. I like that. You don't put them in storage. You burn them, as many of us should, probably with some of our clothes. But it's not something that's going to come back in vogue. It's not coming back in fashion. He says, all this bad stuff, get rid of, and get rid of it for good. Like a set of ill-fitting clothes, put it away and burn it in the fire. And you get these lists. He gives you these two lists of five things that we should get rid of. And I just want to touch on them really quickly. Beginning in verse 5, you'll see that there's a list there that begins with sexual promiscuity. And one of the things that one of the Greek scholars that I read said is that makes it sound really, really bad, you know. Like, but he says that the Greek word there just means anything outside of marriage. And so it's broader than it sounds like it is up there. Shed that. Impurity. Lust. I love the way the Message translates this. Doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, which the NIV calls evil desires. And then the last one, grabbing whatever attracts your fancy, which is the Message's way of translating greed. Grabbing whatever attracts your fancy, being greedy, being idolatrous. And then in verse 8, we get the ones that are really hard for most of us to get rid of. Our bad temper, our irritability, our meanness, our profanity, and our dirty talk. Not the easiest things to get rid of. And do they ever go completely? I mean, I don't know. I hope not. And I still have those mean moments, right? Or the times when you just want to be mean. Or the times when you slip into just bad temper or irritability. It happened to me this afternoon, so I'm confessing. And then he replaces those things with five that we need. Compassion, beginning in verse, where are we, Nick? Verse 12. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Those are the things that we need to have on us. And then it concludes, and regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. And so we've titled this message, Love is the New Black. You need love. Love is the thing that binds it all together. It's the peace that we all should have in our lives. It's not about the rules. It's not about just getting through it. It's about living a life of love for God, of love for Jesus, and expressed in the love of those around us. By living a life of compassion and kindness and humility and quiet strength and discipline. We seem to live in a culture obsessed with being right. I've been talking to my kids about this a lot. You know, when you have kids that are 4 years apart, my oldest always wants to correct the youngest because, and he's right. And there are times when I have to say to him, but right doesn't matter right now. Compassion matters. Kindness matters. And at this moment, yeah, I agree, you're right. But right at that moment doesn't matter. My mom related a story to me. She went to one of the big box stores and she bought, this is kind of silly, but she bought vitamins 2-for-1. And she grabbed the wrong one. So she went to take it back. And when she took it back to exchange it, they charged her not the 2-for-1 price, but the one price. Does it might make sense here? Yeah. They charged her the one price. So it was $4 difference. It was a $4 difference in a big box store. My mom goes to the manager and says, you know, I did this 2-for-1. There shouldn't be cost me any more money and all those things. This turned into a conflict because the manager was right. And my mom now readily admits the manager was right. But she also admits she's not going back to that particular box store over $4. And she said in the midst of this conversation, whatever happened to the customer is always right. The manager of that store was so obsessed with being right that she drove my mom right out of the store. And when I heard her tell me this story, I thought, do we do that in the church? That we're so obsessed with being right that we drive people away because they don't match up? Are we so drawn into the argument to prove we're right that we shut somebody out? And at times, should we talk to the church like I talk to my son and say, at this moment, right doesn't matter. More important is compassion and kindness and love. Being right. Now, I'm not saying it's not important to be right. I think you hear that. It's important for us to know that we're right. But it's not always important for us to prove to the other person that we're right. Love. Clothe yourselves, Paul says, in love. I want to share with you, Nick, can you bring up the YouTube video for us, please? You may have seen this. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you've heard of it. And I think if you just hit replay, it should come up. And can you full screen
now,
it?
Let's face it. We're polar opposites.
We couldn't be further apart. I'm on the left.
And I'm usually right. And we strongly disagree.
Except on one issue. Tell them what it is, Reverend Pat.
That would be our planet. Taking care of it is extremely important.
We all need to work together, liberals and conservatives.
So get involved. It's the right thing to do.
Now there you go again.
Join us. Together we can solve the climate crisis. Go to wecansolveit.org.
It's not an ad for climate crisis for me, okay? For me, though, if Al Sharpton and Pat Robertson can sit on a couch together and say, we agree about something, shouldn't the church be able to do the same thing? You know the other couple in this ads? Are Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi on a couch in front of the Capitol building saying we don't agree on anything except this. The sad part is the thing we agree on is the planet. What about people? What about the people around us each and every day? Instead of getting drawn into arguments, instead of getting into that right and wrong, why can't we clothe ourselves in love? To me, what Paul is saying in this passage is that when we clothe ourselves in this way, it's more important to share the love than it is to say we're right and somebody else is wrong. Let me just preface this. This isn't the Bible. This is Joe. When I imagine Judgment Day for me, you know, we have to stand before God, and this is an intimidating thought every time I have it. We have to stand before God and replay our lives and see every mistake that we've made along the way. I've often thought, I can't imagine that God would say to me, "Why'd you love that person so much? Shouldn't have done that." I can't imagine God saying, "Why did you welcome that sinner? Why did you love that person that made that mistake? Why did you open your arms up to them?" I can't imagine God getting upset about that. But I can't imagine God saying, "Why did you make that person feel unwelcome because they were a sinner? Why did you make that person feel like they didn't belong because they didn't measure up to what you thought was right? Why did you shut that person out and not love them?" In our communion ritual, when we in the formal body get together and do communion, there's this line that we say, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that proves God's love toward us. And God says to each one of us, "If I loved you while you were still a sinner, why can't you share the love with the other that's still the sinner?" Are we so obsessed with proving ourselves right, with proving that we belong in heaven, that we have to shut somebody out or leave them behind? That shouldn't be what we're about at all. We should be welcoming, concerned more about how a person feels, about their knowing that they can be a part of something bigger than themselves, than making them feel like they have to measure up to some false thing that we've done to them. Yeah, it's important to be right. I mean, please don't hear that. We're not open to everything and everything's okay. We're not going there. But in the moment, there are times when love is far more important than making sure somebody knows you're right. As a church, we just need to keep reaching out in love to the people around us, clothing ourselves in love. The Bible says it this way: regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let's pray together. God, it's powerful to want to do the right thing and to make sure standards are held. And unfortunately, at times we know that when we're trying to be who you want us to be, that we can make somebody else feel like they don't belong. And God, we just hear you speaking to us tonight and letting us know that there's no greater way to let people know that you love them than to love them ourselves. May we truly be creatures clothed in love. For we know that, boy, when we look deep in ourselves, we can't find an earthly reason why you would love us. But you do. God, may we be agents of that unconditional love to those we come into contact with in our everyday living. May the world see love, see you, when they see us. All of this we ask In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.